You're listening to History for Christian Teens, the podcast where we examine historical people, places, and events through the lens of the Bible, drawing meaningful lessons that we can apply to our own lives as believers. This podcast is designed for middle and high school age students, but mom and dad and everyone else, you're invited to listen in too. This broadcast is brought to you by the Ultimate Homeschool Podcast Network. Welcome, and thank you for listening in today. I'm Crystal Niehoff.
And I'm Kevin Niehoff.
Today, we're talking about the most loved, most hated, most read, and most censored book in history, the Bible. Kevin, why do you think the Bible is so controversial?
Well, that's kind of a tough question, but there's several reasons. And I think one is that it's not very popular among those who try to seek power. When you look throughout history, most tyrants going all the way back to the Roman emperors, to the 20th century tyrants like Stalin and Hitler, and to authoritarians today in China and elsewhere, believe themselves to be all powerful. They see that as a threat to their power when the people become more devoted to God instead of to them or the state. It also gets in the way of people living their individual lives the way they want to live them. For the Bible states that we will be accountable for what we do. It also states that there is pleasure in sin for a season, but its end is the way of death. This is true anywhere in every country, no matter what your class distinction may be.
So let's dive in and learn some quick facts about the Bible. The Bible has a total of 66 books by 40 authors, 39 books in the Old Testament, and 27 books in the New Testament. There are 31,173 verses total in the Bible, depending on the transition you're using. With 40 authors, the Bible has been written on three continents: Asia, Africa, and Europe. According to 27 Fun Facts About the Bible at thinkaboutsuchthings.com, as of 2019, the Bible has been translated into 698 different languages and just the New Testament alone into 1,548 languages. Within the pages of the Bible, you can find the law, science, history, prophecy, poetry, and wisdom writings. Kevin, with all that said, what's the purpose of the Bible?
Well, with a multifaceted God, the Bible itself serves in multifacets as well. There's many views. One is, there's one view out there that says the Bible is written as man's view of God. That's inaccurate. The perspective of the Bible is that it's God's view of man, not man's view of God. It is inspired by God, who used men and their distinctive personalities to convey his message to the world. We also find other reasons going into Luke. Luke chapter 1, it says, many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. Paul wrote to Timothy the following: but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correction, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the nutshell, the story of the Bible is the story of God's redemptive plan to rescue mankind, to restore his creation. You can divide it up to six acts, which is you have his creation, you have the fall of man, you have Israel, you have Jesus, the creation of the church, and finally, his new creation, the culmination of history as the book of Revelation and the final prophecies are fulfilled with Jesus' return to the earth and God's ultimate judgment upon mankind. Another thing you can take a look at is Matthew in the book of Matthew. This is Jesus speaking. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Paul wrote to Timothy the following, command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believer in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. This is the invitation of the Bible, to encounter Jesus and be transformed in the process. It's a book that's unlike any other book. It's both human and divine. It's story and history and poetry and parable. It's transformational and it's deeply relational. It's the story of God and the story of us. What is the Bible? The Bible is a story that leads to Jesus and invites us to become like him.
And as it talks about in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible is the lens through which we're to view everything. If it doesn't line up with God's word, we're to reject it. Learning about history and interpreting what lessons we can learn from it all is done through the context of the Bible. So, as a personal example, I'm nearsighted. I can see just fine without my glasses as I move around the house. But when I get into my car to drive, I had better have my glasses on, or everything beginning at about a block away becomes blurry. I struggle to read street signs, and I for sure want to be able to see speed limit signs clearly. That's why I put on my glasses. In the same way, when we put on our biblical glasses, history and life in general makes a lot more sense and seems much less scary to navigate. Would you agree, Kevin?
Yes, I do. And another example of how the word of our Creator gives us a clearer picture in the heart of mankind is, think back when humanism crept into the school curriculum with its philosophy of finding the good in everyone. To think people are inherently good and evil is out of the norm. However, that's not what the Bible says, and that goes back all the way to Genesis. You look in Genesis chapter 8, you find that the heart of man is evil from his youth. In Isaiah, it says, all our righteous acts are as filthy rags. Think about that. Every good thing you've ever done when compared to God is what? It's a filthy rag. And we find out why when you take a look and see what Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans 3:23. For what's it say? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
Boy, this knowledge definitely sheds a whole different light on the likes of Hitler, Stalin, and others throughout history, and even ourselves. Without Jesus, we're all wicked and prone to sin. The Bible shows us that we all desperately need a Savior, Jesus Christ, to rescue us from our sinfulness. But Kevin, can we really be sure that the Bible is true and without error?
Well, the Bible itself has shown itself to be trustworthy throughout history. You think about it. Over 500 prophecies were fulfilled when Jesus Christ came. What else? What are some of the other things we take a look at? Well, archaeologists and historians hold the works of ancient writers such as Caesar, Tacitus, and Josephus to be accurate. But when we look at what we have on them, they have very limited copies of their works. What we know about the Gallic Wars, which were the wars between Rome and Carthage, we know by what Caesar wrote in the first century. And what happens, we discovered about his writings about 1000 AD, 1,000 years after the wars actually took place. And there are only about 10 copies of his writings, but he is quoted in most history books. Tacitus wrote in the first century as well, and we have only 20 copies of his work. What do we have on the Bible? We have fragments of the New Testament dated around 150 AD. We also have 5,000 complete Greek New Testaments dated around 350 AD. Think about the closeness of the dates to the actual events And yet compared to what we have and what ancient history, it doesn't even match up, doesn't even compete. So yeah, the other thing is that because God says so. In the end, a lot of it just boils down to faith. For what does it say? Apart from faith, it is impossible to please God. In Genesis, it writes, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him as righteousness. And in the New Testament, it writes, with the heart one believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
So, listeners, how can you look at yourself differently this week? Or view others in a new light this week? You can see them and yourself the way our Father God sees them in you, which you can do when you put on your biblical glasses. Created by God, flawed and prone to sin, but worth laying down his own son's life on the cross. And how can you look at circumstances that you may be going through differently by putting it into context of the Bible? How can you look at what you're studying in school and as you go about your day and your friendships and such? The Word of God is full of hope and life and restoration. The Lord has a purpose and a plan for your life. There's no pit too deep, nothing too difficult that he can't bring you through it. Kevin and I would love to pray for you. You can email your prayer request to historyforchristianteens@gmail.com. And we would love for you to listen in next week, putting on your biblical glasses as we go back to the beginning and find out how humankind ended up in the mess of sin and death that we're in by exploring the lives of the first man and woman. Thanks for so much for listening in today. Have a great week. Thanks for listening in today. If you like this podcast, please be sure to subscribe and give us a star rating on your favorite podcast app. You can follow us on Facebook too. Links to this and all the other resources mentioned during the podcast today can be found in our show notes at historyforchristianteens.com. We hope you'll join us again next week for another thought-provoking and insightful lesson in History for Christian Teens.